Our Friday panel this morning, two former general election candidates, both of whom stood in the Sligo Leitrim constituency in 2020, both of whom stood as independents and are not afraid of speaking out on issues, no matter what they be. From Drumahair in County Leitrim, Bernie O'Hara joins us, and originally from Ballinacaro in County Sligo, James Conway is with us. Good morning to you both, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Niall.
Thanks for having us.
We were going to be free this day, week, Bernie, weren't we?
Well, I think our freedom is well and truly lost. Like, I mean, we had a vote on the Dáil there the other a week ago, and where they gave the Minister for Health probably the greatest powers of any leader in the world. I'd say there's very few leaders in the world that have the same power as that our elected representatives gave to the Minister for Health. And I wouldn't really mind so much, well, I would, but I wouldn't mind so much if he was a competent Minister for Health, but he has proven to be the most incompetent Minister of Health that we've had in a long time.
What powers are you talking about there now?
Well, they give back that he can bring in any restrictions he wants. They give them for another 3 months. He can bring in any restrictions he wants in this country. He can close everything down. He can stop people going to their jobs. He can do really literally anything he wants. And he can do that under the guidance of another unelected representative, Tony Houlihan. And these two people have, I'd safely say there is very few world leaders that have the same power as these two men have, and considering that one of them isn't even elected, it's absolutely outrageous. And I don't like to pick anyone particularly out, but I was very surprised that Mark McSharry actually voted for that.
Right, okay. So, I mean, what are your feelings? We were supposedly going to have most of our restrictions eased, if not all of them, next Friday, and there seems to be, you know, an increasing reluctance amongst government ministers and health officials to do that. So what's the right thing to do as far as you're concerned?
We're the highest vaccinated country in Europe, and we have the tightest restrictions. And it has come to the point where everyone does their own risk assessment. We're not fools in this country. People know what's probably not such a good idea and what they can do. And people make their own risk assessment. People that's vulnerable or that people that have any underlying conditions need to make their decisions based on that. Other people that are good and healthy and that are able to go out, and even if they do get the virus, that are fit to fight it. So it's a case of everyone doing their own risk assessment at this stage. The first thing we have always to consider when there's any rule or any law being made in any country is the rights of the people. And the rights of the people are being taken away bit by bit all the time. And we are entering into a very, very dangerous situation in this country when you literally have one person that can make a decision for every single person in the country without leave or by to anybody else. I can tell you one thing, it's not a good place to be going.
Okay, so open it up. It comes down to personal responsibility. Yeah. Get on with our lives. All right, lives, James, where do you stand on the issue of the reopening?
Chris Christopherson had a mighty song one time. There was a line in it, "Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose."
Yeah.
And our government seems to be absolutely doing everything in their power to assure that any ordinary working person, with the taxation system that's in it now and with the restrictions that's in it, business people, everything, will have nothing left. At the end of this, it needs to open up. Bernie is absolutely correct in what she says. Nobody does in this country. We're all able to make our own risk assessments at this. Everyone has their vaccines taken. Anyone who doesn't want to take it, you have the Nuremberg Code. They have the right not to take it. You can't go arguing that point with them. So at this stage, anybody who wants it has it taken. Anybody who doesn't want it has it taken.
I think it's fair to say that anybody who hasn't opted to be vaccinated by now, it's unlikely they're going to be
No, they're not going to change their mind. And I've spoken to quite a few of them and they make very good points. They say nobody, and they'll show you the material themselves. They've written to the HSE and that, and they've asked, can you give me an example of the long-term effects? And because this vaccine was created in a very short time frame, obviously enough, they cannot furnish them with those kind of results. So you can't argue with someone making that point that they're a fool. They may be very cautious. So at this stage, the vast amount of the population are vaccinated. The people who are not don't want to be. There's a Nuremberg Code that was brought in after World War II that you cannot coerce someone into taking anything, a medical treatment that they don't want to. Mm. And there seems to be a great deal coming from the government of trying to blame people who don't want to take the vaccine for all the ruinations in the country at the moment. It's divide and conquer. If the people are arguing amongst themselves, they're not looking up at the top. You have to remember, at the beginning of this, we were told masks weren't a good idea because people would be taking them on and off and touching their face. Then masks were a good idea. We were told about 6 foot distances. Then we were told that 6 foot mightn't be enough. Then we were told it was too little. There has been absolutely no clarity on this. Now, what they've talked about is follow the science. You need to follow the science. At the beginning of this, people were saying about the virology lab in Wuhan in China that it was very likely that this pandemic came out of there.
Yeah.
They were dismissed as conspiracy theorists. Well, all of a sudden, we followed the science, and now the WHO and all of their investigations are showing that it's very, very, very likely that it did originate in this laboratory.
Okay.
So China is facing into a situation where the entire world economy has faltered on their inaction at the beginning. So there is a situation here where Ireland and countries around the world now have to stand up and be brave and say, why didn't you tell us? And furthermore, you're going to have to pay for this. Yeah, and the likelihood of the government we have at the moment standing at a place and saying things as there is vastly unlikely.
Yeah, okay. So what would you, I mean...
No, they're not brave enough. They're not brave enough.
Leo Varadkar rang the Prime Minister of China back in the early stages of it and to get the, you know, the PPE equipment, right?
Yes.
And they paid for it and done everything for it and they sent it and it was flawed.
It was flawed. It was the old adage. It's the same if you buy a pair of trainers or anything, it wouldn't fit anyone.
Whereas he should have been on to the Prime Minister and saying, look, you created this problem, you get this stuff to us now. You know, every country in the world, the EU, every country in the world should be suing China.
Oh, certainly so.
Yeah. But okay, so in relation to next Friday, what would you do, James? Do you think we should
open it up? Open it up to blazes. I've been over in England several times since, right?
Yeah.
If people are fearful, okay, I'm not going to turn around and say to someone, you shouldn't be fearful. You know, that's their own business. If they're fearful, let them carry on being fearful. Let them take all of the precautions they want in the world.
Yeah.
You cannot stop an economy from functioning. What's going to end up this winter, and it's a terrible thing to say, we are facing into a winter of discontent. We're already facing a worldwide energy crisis. We have a vast amount of people who have retrofitted their homes. They have left themselves with no option to heat themselves, bare electricity, which is now going to be in very, very short supply.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest about it, the last 2 to 3 years, on an economic standpoint, if you had listened to everything government had said and done the rank opposite, you might have had a chance. We're facing into this. We have pensioners who have drawn out their pensions, okay? Drawn out their pensions, had no place to spend it, going into a winter now where the lights are off, where criminals all around the West and all around Ireland know that these people are at home with money that they didn't spend. And what have they done? They've closed every Garda station in every rural area around the country. Now, you don't need a criminal genius to figure out what's going to happen this winter. And you certainly don't need a Garda superintendent or something to figure out what's going to happen this winter.
Right, and okay.
Niall, there's total lack of irresponsibility by the government.
Okay, well, just before we move on, would you like to answer the very first text came in this morning? You should be having a pair of anti-vaxxers online.
Excuse me,
well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe you'd like to just answer that text. If I could clarify,
I've had my MMR.
Yeah,
I've had my measles, mumps and rubella. My children have had their vaccines. My wife has had her vaccine.
Yeah, and that's your own business, nobody else's business.
Well, this is what I'm saying. You see, you're tarnished against the vaccine. Neither of us are anti-vaccine at all. What we are is anti-fear. There's no sense, if you have got your vaccine and you're going to get your booster, what are you afraid of? You know, at some stage you have to go out and live your life.
Okay,
life must return to normal.
Okay, right. Well, speaking of life returning to normal, well, first of all, you can ring us now or text if you have any comments on the panel. 071 911 8104, the number to ring. 083 3500 530, the text and WhatsApp number. The budget during the week, were you excited, dismayed, Bernie, in relation to budget? Anything in particular struck you or...
I tell you one thing, you'd be very easy excited if you got excited about anything that was in that budget. I tell you, I suppose maybe they were banking on the fact that, you know, nothing was happening with all the restrictions and everything else. Maybe we'd be awful excited if we heard that.
Did you get your fiver, or did you get a couple of fivers, do you know, or have you worked it out yet?
Thanks very much, Niall. He's saying now I'm pensioner.
No. There was a lot more fivers coming the way, not just pensioners. I wasn't saying that at all.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing about the pensioners, and it's something that bothers me, has bothered me for years, and we're all heading in the direction of of the pension, whether we like it or not.
Yeah,
that's right.
But here's what they've done. They gave a fiver. A fiver. Imagine, like, I mean, imagine how they could say that with a straight face on them, like, that they were given a fiver to pensioners. But here's the problem with the pension. They talk about social welfare, like, this is the cost of social welfare, these people getting pension. Well, I know myself and a lot of people before me and a lot of people continue to do it, we paid PRSI all our lives.
Correct.
That was our insurance. We paid for a pension. Mm-hmm. So this is a paid-up pension. A contributory pension is a paid-up pension. It's not social welfare. And like any other pension, it should be index-linked. It shouldn't be dependent on some minister coming out and saying, there's a fiver for you now, be careful with it. Don't, you know, don't go mad. It should be index-linked. It should rise constantly according with inflation. It's completely different from a non-contributory pension. People paid into that pension. They did with when they were making them contributions, they were paying into their health insurance. So therefore, they shouldn't be asked now to get private health insurance. The private health insurance, which is an absolute joke of a system.
But did you see anything positive in the budget at all? Was there anything you would welcome and
finished,
give the government
when he finished, that was pretty positive.
Talking.
Yeah, that was good.
Nothing at all.
Well, then you go back then.
Even in relation to what was announced for the carers, nothing at all you saw as positive.
Inflation currently is running anywhere from 10 to 20%. Now, take the pensioner, for example, and I absolutely pity the way they're being treated. I've played cards with enough pensioners to know that they can count, and the government seems to take them for fools, right? Yeah. Inflation's running at 10 to 20%, meaning in every 100 euro, you're losing between 10 to 20 euro purchase power on that 100 euro.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take an average pension, 200 to 230 euros, that pensioner has lost in the region of 30 euro, okay? And then they dangle a fiver. As one man said to me, it isn't the price of a pint if you go to a right pub. Right?
Yeah.
They dangle this and they say, look at what we've done for you. They've done nothing for the pensioner. The pensioner has got his fiver. His electricity bill has gone up 30 to 40%. His fuel bill has gone up 30 to 40%. Now he's been told if he had a bank of turf down the road, you can't cut that anymore. You're going to have to buy this electricity office. The pensioner is being hoodwinked. Absolutely hoodwinked. And let Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and all these TDs look pensioners in the eyes the next election. And tell them that they didn't think they were those. Because that's the opinion they seem to create of the older people is the older person will sit at home, they'll call Niall Delaney, but they won't be out on the road trying to strangle them. They're holding the pensioner in pure disdain.
Okay. But right,
there's another big problem for the pensioners, though. Like, and you have an awful lot of very responsible people that worked all their lives. They saved a bit of money. They said to themselves,
my
pension is not going to keep me. So I have a bit of money. I'm going to tuck it away and I can draw X amount of that from every month. There's negative interest in the banks now and there's inflation.
Yeah.
And that money is going down and down and down. Yeah. And in a few years' time, that money is going to be worth very little to these people. The government need to step in and do something to protect those savings of people that worked all their life to plan responsibly for their retirement. And they need to do that. They also, another thing in the budget that they did, they didn't do anything for young people that's trying to buy houses. There's people paying 1,500 euro a month in rent and they can't save a deposit for a house. If they were paying a mortgage, they'd probably be paying half of that. And yet, they can't get the mortgage because they can't come up with the deposit. They need to do something for those type of people. They need to bring in a system where if a person has shown they're paying that rent for X amount of time, there's no need for that huge deposit. And they should have brought back the mortgage relief, the mortgage relief on, you know, the tax mortgage relief.
Yeah.
And they should have done something to help people. They should also, you drive around the country and look at all the closed up houses. There is old houses, there's nothing done with. They should offer an incentive to people to buy these old houses, to do them up. Like, there's closed up houses. They seem to be because there's a problem with title. There should be something done to get that title sorted out on these type of houses and that people could buy them and it would take the demand away from new houses and building houses and it would fill up the different communities.
Well, there's lots of texts and lots of opinions coming in. This person is a great panel this morning, not afraid to speak their minds. We are too afraid nowadays to say what we genuinely think. Someone else says, the best and most realistic, sensible talking Friday panel ever already, and we're only, 10 minutes into the discussion. On the vaccine, this lady got fully vaccinated and she says her energy levels are in no way the same since getting it. She feels drained all the time since getting it. And someone else suggests that the vaccine should be mandatory for all citizens, which is completely unworkable.
I'll be honest about it. Look, that's a ridiculous point to make because you cannot, under the Nuremberg Code, make any medical treatment mandatory.
Yeah.
Now, here's a little thing for you, okay? Mandatory is fascism. It's Nazism. When you make something mandatory, you may as well call yourself a Nazi because that is the type of politics that is. If you have democracy, you have option. You have an option who you vote for. You have an option if you vote. You have an option what you want to do and when you want to do it, as long as you abide within the laws. You cannot make medical treatment mandatory for anybody. And it's a very, very slippery slope. Because let's say, for instance, Niall, you start off with a mandatory vaccine, mm-hmm. okay? Let's say in 5 or 6 years' time, there's a chromosome identified that two people who meet, if they decide to be partners, are very likely to have disabled children, okay?
Yeah.
I have a disabled child myself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where does the mandatory stop? How far does the mandatory go? Stay away from mandatory. Optional is where it's at. Just leave it at option and let everyone live their life.
It's not that long ago since we had a very controversial referendum, and it rings in my ears all the time, my body, my choice.
Well, you're absolutely correct, because I watched that referendum, Issa. I know you have a pro-life position. But where are all these pro-life people now when somebody says, you know something, it's my body, it's my choice, I don't want the vaccine? Because I've noticed, and I've watched it, an awful lot of the people who were hard-line, my body, my choice, have now done a complete 180, and they're absolutely vociferating people who want their own body choice. It's ridiculous.
Right, okay, somebody else asked an interesting question. One of the provisions in the budget, the free contraceptives for young women. Do you agree with that or not, Bernie?
Well, the thing about it is, free contraceptives from young women, I would imagine an awful lot of them would have been far more pleased if they got some help with their rent while they're up there, something that would help them through college. I mean, it's absolutely, it's insulting to people. I think it's a grave insult to young people.
Why is it insulting?
There's an awful lot more things an awful lot of them need than free contraceptives. And I mean, how do they think of it? Like, you'd wonder how did they come up with such rubbish, like.
Well, you see, what they do, Niall, and they've been doing it constantly for years, is this kind of virtue signalling.
Oh.
It's these very, very small cost items that gives them a good moral sense, and look at us, we're very nice people.
Mm.
It's nonsense. You take their...
Do you agree with that? Do you think it's a good move?
Free contraception? Mm. Not particularly, no. I think if you're man or woman enough to go out and have a night like that, you're man or woman enough to go into a chemist beforehand. It's absolutely ridiculous. As the man says, look at...
It's insulting.
There's plenty of young people out there, right? And they know where to get contraception. If they want it, it's freely available. If you're man or woman to be at it, you're man enough and woman enough to pay for it yourself. It's pure nonsense. Go to a pensioner there and throw them a fiver and say everything's going to be all right. Mm. And then the granddaughter or the grandson is getting free johnnies. Forget about it.
Mm. Right, okay. There's lots and lots of texts coming in, I can tell you. And look, I made the point in the introduction, both of you ran the general election very, very recently in Sligo Leitrim, both independent candidates against the status quo, I think it's fair to say, and anybody who was in any doubt won't be in any doubt after the first 15 minutes or so. The change you believe was going to come then, Bernie, well, did it happen? I'm not sure if it did or not, but is there a change on the way in Irish politics? And if so, where is it going? Where are we at?
Well, you see, the problem for people is, like, I mean, you know, they certainly don't want again what we have. Like, that's, I mean, nobody wants that again. Like, I mean, it's outrageous. And then the only other option for party is Sinn Féin. And a lot of people are definitely going to vote for Sinn Féin. They are definitely going to be the gainers from this farce of a government we've already had. But are they going to be any better? You know, this is the problem.
Yeah. Like, you don't sound convinced.
Well, they haven't given me any reason to be convinced. What are their policies that are different? Like, I mean, they go along with most things that happen.
Yeah, but didn't they have a very glossy alternative budget and alternative points of view on one? And I even heard Piers Doherty saying that some of the provisions in the budget were stolen from Sinn Féin.
Well, then, if that's certainly a good idea, like, then, I mean, then it's more of the same. You're literally, what, a fiver for the pensioners? And, you know, like, I mean, the farmers got an awful raw deal in that budget. And the thing about it is, when you look at the farms, they talk about family farms and this kind of thing, and family farms have to make a living. But there's a far bigger issue involved with farmers. It's the backbone of the whole country. There's hundreds of thousands of jobs directly associated with farming, and the factories and everything else, their jobs come from the farmers. But not only that, if the farmers weren't being, if their industry wasn't being looked after, you wouldn't be able to buy a kilo of beef for three times the price you buy it at now, because if you had to pay for what it cost to get an animal to the quality for slaughtering that you get in Ireland, it would cost you three times the price for a kilo.
Okay.
So it's helping them, but they did nothing for family farms.
Okay, would you welcome the concept of a female Taoiseach in the guise of Mary Lou MacDonald? Would you admire Mary Lou MacDonald as a...
Well, I mean, she speaks out of both sides of her mouth a lot of the time. Like, it's very... Like, I mean, she talks on some occasions about freedom and about this, that and the other thing. But yet, it was her party voted to stop people praying the rosary near abortion clinics in Northern Ireland. And, like, I mean, they were doing nothing. They talked about intimidation, but they didn't give any evidence that there was any intimidation. And if there was intimidation, then the people that were involved in intimidation should be dealt with. But she, for a party that claimed to talk about freedom and everything else, to stop people praying near an abortion clinic, there's something seriously wrong with that. She seems to have some problem with prayer or with Catholics or something.
James, same question to you. When you ran as a candidate in 2020, change was uppermost in your mind as well, and a change of how we do politics. Are you convinced that there is a positive change on the way, and do you recognise the fact that Sinn Féin look odds on to be part of the next government? And would you welcome that or not?
Look, I've dealt with Sinn Féin TDs and councillors since, and I found them nothing but helpful. As a party, if you boil down into the policy, there's very little difference between Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin. There's very little difference.
No difference at all between Fianna Fáil?
Very little.
Why would you say, I mean...
Obviously, it's the same. I asked a question there during the election, and Sinn Féin were running on this building 100,000 houses, which is an absolutely amicable target to set. But I was in two constituencies, and I asked the same question. I says, how? And I couldn't get an answer. So as I said, I could come into this studio today and I could say, you know, this time next year I'm going to have 50,000 houses built. But your duty as a journalist then is to say how. And sure, if I start coughing and spluttering and I don't have an answer for you, it's not a great sign. Like, and the other side, after Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Greens are done with this country, and I pray to God it's as short a doing as possible, it's the same as a man told me one time, you can have the finest tractor in the parish, but if you don't have money to put diesel in it, you're not going to go too far.
And that's where Sinn Féin are, you think?
I think Sinn Féin are certainly going to be the next party. I think what they've done is they've done the mood music on what people want to hear and all that particularly well. They've perfected it, yeah. And I think you'll see them in power. But what I'm looking at is the background policy. I don't see the policy changes. And I certainly don't see the policy changes when you're looking at an empty kitty of money. Mm. Now, the budget the other day, just shortly, in my mind, is moving the deck chairs round on the Titanic. If you look at the economy in China at the moment, Evergrande, the second biggest property developer in China, is bankrupt, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the other construction companies in China are going bankrupt. Currently, there's container ships sitting off California because the longshoremen won't work a 24-hour shift to get the stuff into, which means that global production, Europe, across the world, is at a damn near standstill. Now, when we were in school, we were told the basics of economics were primary industry, secondary industry and tertiary. Primary was your fishing, your farming. Then your secondary was your sawmill, all this going off it. And then tertiary was your hairdressers, nail bears, you know. That was your industry. Now, what the government done with COVID was wiped out tertiary. They absolutely wiped it out. Then they systematically wiped out secondary. You know, the meat factories, everything was closed. Now what they're doing, global markets are wiping out primary industry. We're in a situation, Niall, and it's dairy farmers especially, with the price of chemical manure, they will not have grass in the spring. They won't have it because they won't be able to afford to buy it. I was over with a banker in London there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
She's with NatWest. NatWest would own Ulster Bank.
Yeah.
And I asked the question, I says, why did Ulster Bank pull out of Ireland? And she looked me dead in the eye in our little cafe and she says, because we don't want to engage in evictions. That was her answer. So if the banks are pulling out and they can see all of this before it happens, surely to God these very, very intelligent people on Leinster House can see it too.
Okay, how refreshing this morning. Sensible panel, with their own views, but not the party waffle. As opposed to that, this person says, definitely the worst panel ever in Oceans. You should balance your panels. I can tell you, there's lots that James and Bernie don't agree on. That's for sure. A listener rang in, they're a pensioner. is a pensioner. He did his supermarket shop this morning and was horrified about the increase in price of products like dog and cat food. And then he got a miserable €5 increase in the pension. Lots more.
Well, the increase in the dog and cat food is as a result to the main ingredients having near doubled in price.
Yeah.
But you see, this is a result, Niall, of the subsidisation. You've subsidised the farming market for 20 or 30 years and people have always said about the farmers, oh, they're sitting high in a hog and they have subsidies, this, that and the other thing. But what you have to understand is for 20 to 30 years, the farmer was not getting a price for his product that was sustainable.
But he still isn't.
No, yeah. But you see, this year now, in particular with the sheep industry, prices have been relatively good, okay?
Yep.
It's coming that you're actually starting to make a profit, which is the first time in 2 decades. Mm. Now, when that happens, it's not going to stop. It's supply and demand. If you have a global shortage, which means that you're not going to get your sheep meat or beef from other countries, it means that the Irish product is going to go up. And then you have the taxation increase, and then you have the retailer whose costs have increased. Okay. So this is...
Everything is driving inflation.
Everything. Yeah. This is a self-eaten circle now.
This person says, you're all missing the point this morning on the panel. The government were not voted in by the people, which is a relevant comment and a true statement as well.
Well, on that anybody point, voted. Niall, I made a little bit of a speech before the election and I outlined the gas that was sold, the oil that was sold, basically the lotto. Imagine that, a country that can't even keep a hold of its own lotto, right? Mm. Forestries. Mm. And it was working out in the region of 400 to 500 billion between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil that had been sold over the years. Right? You're looking at two parties there who were so inept that they couldn't keep their own resources. And for some ungodly reason, Niall, and I say this, I don't know what the Irish obsession with beating ourselves up is. Because I can guarantee you one thing, okay? Let's imagine for a second a hypothetical point.
Yep.
Let's imagine an English Prime Minister telling the Irish people, that's it, Paddy, you're not cutting turf anymore. There'd be war in this country. Mm-hmm. But because it's one of our own, we seem to lie down and accept it and say, well, you know, maybe it's for the greater good.
You see, there's a lot of acceptance of things too in this country because there's a lot of businesses, there's a lot of individuals, there's a lot of people getting money now for sort of, and they don't want to rock any boat. And that's an awful lot.
Well, speaking of business, I know you have views on the corporation tax and the 15% rate. Did you agree? Well, they had little choice, as we know. Or how do you react to that?
Well, the thing about it is, I would be one of the first to say that, you know, in this country, we're in an awful position that we're actually dependent on the foreign direct investment. We need that in this country because successful governments have not done enough to help, you know, micro industries, you know, the SMEs, small businesses, individual sole traders. They haven't done enough to help them. So for that reason, then, we are very, very dependent on the businesses comes in from other countries.
Yeah.
We have the like of Abbott's here. We have lots of factories here. We have an awful lot of medical factories in Ireland. And an awful lot of them come here for a lot of reasons. One of the main reasons they come for is the low corporation tax, which is 12.5%. Now, they come for other reasons. I know that. They come the other thing. But they also provide work for people that are highly skilled that otherwise would have to go abroad for these jobs.
Yeah.
But the problem is not just that they raise it to 15%. Some companies here will say, yeah, well, we can do that. 15% isn't, you know, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies will leave. And on their own admission, they reckon that they will lose €2 billion in corporation tax, at least, you know, from that. But the problem is this. We had two referendums on Lisbon. And the second one passed because there was a protocol put in that Europe could never, ever decide what our corporation tax was going to be. They could never, ever touch it. It was going to be 12.5%. That was it.
So the terms of that treaty have been broken, you're saying?
But this is the OECD, the whatever you call them, it's the World Organization, the World Trade Forum that have done this, right?
Mm.
They have went in, they have signed up to this. This organization, I don't know who they are. I don't know, does most people know who they are? They have signed up to this. They make decisions on different things like education and all this kind of stuff. So Ireland signed up to that and it has to be 15%. They got the words at least 15% taken out. Now, I don't know what that was about. Do you know what I mean? At least it has to be 15%. So it has to be at least 15%. Same thing. But the only thing about it is now it can be changed at any time. They can come along next week and they can say, no, going to be 20%.
And do you think that's likely to happen? You think this is the start of it?
I do. And I think that our government are giving away everything, absolutely everything. We will definitely see less foreign industries come to this country. But a lot of them used to come to Ireland too, because there was good health service, there was good schools, there was this.
Or was it a tax haven, which nobody seems to accept? Was that the main reason, do you think?
Well, they were getting a 12.5% corporate tax, but you have a lot of these factories were employing an awful lot of people. And we can't do without that. We would be in a better position if we worked towards being self-sufficient through small businesses and all this. But the governments for the last years haven't done anything to make that happen. So therefore, we need these businesses. And if they go, we're in trouble.
I think if you look at the vast majority of the legal proceedings with regards to corporate law at the moment, you'll see up on 80% of the cases is that they weren't even paying 12.5%.
Yeah, but you know, in most cases, that has nothing to do with the corporate tax, though. That's a problem with the revenue that they're not seeing to it, that they're paying with the due. Like, I mean, that doesn't mean to say we should get rid of the corporate. Get rid of the people that's not paying it.
No, but this is what I'm saying, and it's a frightening aspect in any country. I said it there, I think it was 1 year ago, there was 12 companies and they were paying in the region of 37% of the total tax income in the country. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's like the 12 apostles. If they change their mind, the country is sunk.
Yeah. Well, which brings me to my next question, and a listener has beat me to it, because I was just about to ask you both, what are the political solutions? What government would you like to see in place in this country to make everything right as you would see it? And to put it more directly from a listener, what realistic political solutions that have either of those panellists? Anti-EU holy Joes. Have they got anything for Ireland as well? People are jumping to all sorts of conclusions this morning.
One of the things I did...
So what is this solution, Bernie?
One of the things I did say there was I showed them what they could do with the housing problems and showed them how they could get young people to get mortgages. I outlined it. Maybe Sinn Féin will take that on, because nobody can argue, but it's not a very sensible proposal. Thing about it is, if anybody wants me to set out Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, Fine Gael wants me to set out policies for them for how to run the country, I will certainly do that.
What government formation would you like to see next time, or is it going to make any difference?
Well, I think the Greens need to be got out anyway. You know, and the Greens are sort of getting their way on everything here. Like, I mean, you have Pete.
The carpooling idea in Drumahair didn't work, did it?
No. Well, you have Pete going from Ireland to Germany and coming back as briquettes, and they're not allowed to Bournemouth, or none of them were allowed to make briquettes in Ireland, but yet the peat is going from here, it's going out to Germany, coming back. Someone tell me now, where's the carbon footprint being saved in that? Then one of the things that the Greens never address is the food waste. 30% of the food that's in the world is wasted, and it's dumped in landfills, and the amount of damage that's doing to the environment goes way beyond what cars are doing and everything else. And considering there could be 30% of the world, the population dying.
So in relation
to hunger.
Government formation, ABG, anybody but the Greens, you think?
I didn't say that either.
I think more, James,
what's the solution then, tell us? I think,
looking at the kind of demographics of it, I think a very likely government the next time round would be Sinn Féin, Labour and a couple independents.
And is that something you would favour?
I'd love to partake in it. But I think the solution, basically on housing especially, we have to take an absolute chainsaw approach to the amount of bureaucracy that's involved in actually getting anything done in this country. And that's across the spectrum. We have farmers who are waiting up at bloody night trying to get paperwork right when they should be looking after their animals. We have builders who are trying to fill in paperwork when they should be building houses. We have to take an absolute chainsaw to the bureaucracy. Then on the money side of it, let's be clear about this. After 2008, for the vast majority of years, our budgets were being approved in the Bundestag in Germany before we could spend our own money. Yeah. And what they were telling us was, listen here, Paddy, you can only spend this much this year. That's it. Now, when COVID came on, all of a sudden, the floodgates opened. Money just appeared from no place.
If the money was spent properly,
perfect. But in relation to going forward, what has to happen, when Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the Greens are done, more than likely, you're looking at a default situation for this country. Now, and not just this country, a vast array of countries around the world. Now, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, are already working on a cryptocurrency to bail out these countries. So you have to read between the lines. What we have to do is hit the ground running with a government who realises the predominant problems we have at the moment. Housing, education, healthcare. That's our predominant. We would be a wonderful country, in my opinion, if we looked after our pensioners, good healthcare, good education for children.
Yeah.
That's what we need to be striving for.
Okay.
And we, on the environmental standpoint, okay, we account for 0.01% of the world's total carbon output. And I'm going to make an appeal to all people at home today who think you're making a difference. You're not. You're not making a difference. Because if you decide tomorrow morning to stop driving your car, or if you decide to stop burning turf in your fire, out in China in around 3 months' time, they'll have another coal-built power station up and running. You're not making a difference.
The other
and
thing about it is,
thinking you are is foolishness.
Okay. I think everyone should do their little bit for the environment. People should stop wasting food. They should. There's lots of things people could do in their own little way. And it's like the sands.
Bernie,
of the
sea. Are they making a difference?
The only thing about it is, if it's like the sands, the sands of the sea. If you've enough people doing enough things, that's because that's.
Yes,
I
completely agree with you. But here's the standpoint. All right,
I know what
we're burying ourselves in debt while. Far larger countries
The reason we're going to be in such debt now is because of the money that was spent during COVID. It was 17 billion or whatever mm-hmm. it was, and they don't even mention it now anymore. It's like as if it didn't happen. Whereas, like, what they should have done was they should have invested even half of that in the hospitals, in the healthcare services, and got that right very quickly on in during COVID, and they wouldn't have needed to spend near as much money on COVID as they did if they had put the resources into the hospital.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We could speak for another hour. A great panel today, says this person. It's nice to hear people with their own opinions and not what they think people want to hear. As someone else agrees, it is the best panel you have ever had, and somebody else wants to know, in a word, if the panel believe we should stay within the EU or not. In a word, Bernie.
In a word, for the moment, we certainly should. There's too much to be done before we would move out of it. But it's certainly, every option should always be looked at. Nothing should ever be all the time, we stay or we go. Everything should be looked at.
What about you, James?
In one word, renegotiate. Mm. We're in a different position now than when we joined the EU. Things change. Okay?
Yeah.
We can no longer be the whipping boys and the best boys in class for Europe. We have to have a little bit of bravery and leadership. We are now a contributor to Europe. We are no longer the country that's drawing money out of them constantly. We pay more than we get.
But what you're saying, James, is for to do that, to negotiate, we need completely different people to
do it. Oh, certainly so.
There's none of the people that are elected at the moment are capable of doing that.